Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos. Good morning to you and complimentary season. It's the Morning Crossfire, the very last hour of the day. Let me make this announcement before we even go any further. So starting next Friday, the first Friday of the year 2023, Friday will be known as Open Mic Friday on the show. So we move Open Mic away from Thursday. We'll bring it to Friday. All right? Okay, great. That done and that said, welcome to the last 1 hour. You can listen and watch live on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, okay? If you are with your radio, feel free to also join our conversation as well. This morning, we're talking about the G5 governors of the People's Democratic Party torn between endorsing Tinubu or Peter Obi. The presidential candidate of the People's Democratic Party, Alhaji Atiku Abubakar, saying that, look, I am not perturbed by whatever these governors are doing. They are Seyi Makinde of Oyo State, Nyesom Wike of Rivers, Okezie Paz of Abia, Samuel Otam of Benue, Ifeanyi Ogunwanyi of Enugu State. So out of the five, these five governors, right, some of them are being said to favor Peter Obi of the Labour Party as their choice candidate for 2023. Some are going for Bola Tinubu. We still don't know their decision yet, but they will be coming back into the country this year, today. And you must have seen pictures of these governors. I like the way and the style and the, you know, swag that they take pictures in the same clothing and all of that. It's quite impressive, really. Well, let's not, you know, dwell too much on their coming back and all. I have a PDP chieftain, Sir Kenny Okolubo, on the show with me this morning. Sir Kenny, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Kadri, I've left the PDP. I since left the PDP. I'm in the Accord Party.
Oh, you are now with the Accord Party.
Yes, I left the PDP for certain reasons, certain impunity that took place during the primary in May. I since left the PDP. But that's fine. You know, everybody has always associated with the PDP.
This is even more interesting. Would you say then that the impunity in PDP could cause their downfall? Or is PDP known for impunity?
All right. The thing is, I was a spokesperson for PDP for the Presidential Campaign Council way back when during Jonathan's regime. And I think was spokesperson for about two different elections for Bayelsa and Anambra. The thing was, PDP left power in 2016. And after leaving power in 2016, there are certain lessons that I expected the party was going to learn. There was a time which the former chairman apologized on behalf of the party, and certainly Nigerians were actually tired of so many things, so many happenings. That was why they decided that nothing was going to stop them from changing the PDP government. Yes, we know the APC government. We can see the difference between the APC government and the PDP government as it is now, in terms of the economy, in terms of even the fight against corruption and security. We know the APC government hasn't done well. But the PDP government, in coming back to power, had a lot to do in putting back their house in order. They haven't done. You must not play God when you are an opposition party. Certain things I might not mention here because of respect of the fact that that was my former party.
Right.
But I'll point out some fundamentals, especially for the presidential election.
Okay.
If you look at it right now, Atiku Abubakar was the arrowhead of those that stormed out of the convention and formed the NPDP. That is the new PDP in 2014. You had Bukola Saraki, who is now his special advisor, and Aminu Tambuwa, who was the speaker of the Federal House of Representatives. And it's like deja vu, because those same people who left the party because they were complaining about Jonathan going for a second term in office, because they did think that Yar'Adua should have had his fair share, but unfortunately died, and it was the turn of the North, have also been the ones that are now back to the party and now the drivers of the process of the party. You must bend backwards over if you want to win an election. It might not be expedient, But for the sake of the fact that you want unity and you want peace, you will look at certain fundamentals, no matter what it is. The leaving of those governors cost the PDP that election. Amaechi also included. That was a very big blow to the PDP.
The 2015 election?
Yes. And then it's happening again now because you have five governors. Not only five governors, but nine gubernatorial candidates are loyal to these five governors. So looking at about 14 states in all, that will be about nine will be taking instructions, so to say, from the five, saying that, look, we don't want to work for the presidential candidates of the party. You don't treat such threats with kid gloves. And they're coming from it's coming from the fact that they're saying that, look, we don't want the chairman of the PDP because he's from North Central. Now the candidate is from the North. He gave his word that if the Northern candidate emerges, he will step down. On the current day, the fact that they're still not happy that apparently the presidency didn't come to the South. When I was in the PDP, I was of the opinion and that the fact that there should have been a paradigm shift from the North to the South, because I did see Buhari as the president of not the APC, but the president of Nigeria. And so for those that came with the theory of saying that Jonathan had done 5 years, Obasanjo had done 8 years, making 13 years of the 16 years of PDP rule, and Yar'Adua barely did 3 years, and so the North has not had its fair share. It didn't hold water to me, because the military administration put together had done, and the civilian administration had taken 4 to 5 years of the nation's 6 to something years of existence in ruling the country. And so there was no basis of judging only from the civilian administration of 1999 in talking about zoning. And so for the fabric and for, I mean, the country, the democracy of the country is still very young. We still have a lot of ethnicity and religious sentiment when it comes to politics. And so for the balance to have been achieved, I actually thought that PDP should have taken that into consideration. Now, two fallouts that came out was Peter Obi leaving the party even after he has got the presidential, which has now become a thorn in the flesh of the party, because that has now turned into the Labour movement, which is actually threatening to even overturn the APC government that is in power. Then you have Rabiu Okokwansu, which of course I didn't support the fact that he is from the Northwest and still wanted to become the president as at that time in the PDP. But he has also left. And Rabiu Okokwansu commands a lot of followership in the North. So those things happened under Iyocha Ayu. So I didn't think Iyocha Ayu managed the process very well. First, the Committee on Zoning came and said they were throwing open the buying of presidential forms. And that was after forms had, they had started selling forms. I thought he would have waited for the Presidential Committee on Zoning to have finished their meetings in Enugu, which was chaired by Uguayi, then before you come up to the fact that you're saying that you're throwing open the purchase of the forms. Now, they were putting the cart before the horse. Do you understand? And that became the bone of contention, because PDP has been enshrined in its constitution.
Do you honestly think that this is a fault of Iyocha Ayu, or the dynamics of politics, especially the powers that be in PDP?
The dynamics of politics had to play, but as a chairman, he could have weighed in on some certain things. You have a caucus before you have the National Working Committee or the National Executive Committee of the party, or even the Board of Trustees. He could have called a caucus meeting of the party to resolve some of these issues. And then again, the southern governors are taking their decision in Asaba, and they expected that they were going to keep those decisions. But the PDP southern governors were not united. Okowa didn't think that maybe Wike had lobbied him enough to support him. Wike. People also did see Okowa as a betrayer, who a decision was taken in his backyard, and he was the first to benefit from it, even though he didn't appoint himself the running mate to Atiku. Atiku chose him as the running mate. The Edri also joined forces and not believing in the candidacy of Wike. Odom ran, and they saw Odom running as weakening the chance of Wike. And Anyim that ran for the Southeast called Pitobi had since gone, only got 14 votes out of the 95 delegates of the PDP there from the Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a case of not believing even in the Southern agenda that they had preached.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was the situation? Abia Governor Ikeazu, Ugunwanye Enugu all worked for Wike. Those are the two governors remaining of the PDP stock in the Southeast. Then in the Southwest, the only governor at that time, Makinde, worked for Wike. Then in the North Central, Autumn worked for Wike. Then other states that did not have gubernatorial candidates did work for Wike, most of them. But at the end of the day, Atiku won.
I mean, that's exactly where I want to come from. Sir Kenny, that's exactly where I want to come from. With all the supposed powers that these governors seem to believe that they wield, at the primaries, Atiku still won. Could this have been, you know, the propeller for Atiku to have said, look, I'm not perturbed by whatever you did. In primaries, with all your whatever that you did, I still won. So maybe Atiku has even better hold on the voters, the PDP voters, in some of these governors' states.
You can't judge primaries that ad hoc delegates are taken from one local government. We have 774 local governments, and we only had 774 delegates. So each local government had only one delegate, because by the amendments of the Electoral Act, it became impossible to even satisfy the normal quota of delegates that usually would go for presidential convention of the party. And so the judgment taken by 774 people cannot be equated to the almost 100 million voters, registered voters, that we have presently in Nigeria. So you just can't use that as a basis.
Let's talk about the activities of the G5 governors. Do you think they are being better loyalists or party men, or they are just being sore losers? I mean, should they put the interest of the party ahead of their own interests? I mean, it's a party, and they've claimed to have been the party even when others left. They've claimed to have stuck there through thick and thin for the party. But then this is the party they are dragging down. Where should they draw the line? Or do you think there's no line to be drawn in this case?
When I was in PDP, we always had this slogan, the party is supreme. But you see what's happening in this present-day politics is most people are thinking of individuals and not even political parties. Yes, they are supposed to be politically loyal to the PDP. I give an example. Because I'm running for the House of Rep, I have so many people that will tell me that, oh, I'm voting for B for president. These are PDP people. For the Senate, I'm voting for PDP. That's the first election. For the House of Rep, I'm voting for you. Are you understanding? There are those that will tell you that, oh, no, I'm voting for APC for the Senate, I will still vote for you, I will vote for OB. I am just giving examples of people that have come across. So it shows that with what is happening in this present day in Nigeria, so many people do not want to stick to political party ideology anymore. But these are leaders of the party, the governors.
Exactly.
And so they are not supposed to speak of anybody else their presidential candidate of their party.
But we're hearing that's the situation now. What's your thought on that?
That shows that the situation has not been properly managed. I have said over and over again that Atiku had to bend backwards. Because look, if you're saying it is too dangerous for you to risk Iyochayu has started by a party that has been torn apart. He has started by a party where Peter B left, even if you say it might not be his fault, but has not formed a movement that is threatening the fabric of his own party and even the ruling party. Now you have sat over a party where Kwapansu had also gone. And you have sat over a party where five governors and nine gubernatorial candidates are threatening to say, look, we will not work for the candidate of the party. Is it too much to sacrifice your child at this point? My answer is no.
Is it too late?
Is it too much, I said.
I'm asking whether it's too late.
It's not too late. But I think, as we see it right now, it is too late in the day because Iyochayu have made up his mind that he's going nowhere. And the same people who are saying they want Iyochayu out are the same people that brought Iyochayu, not even Atiku. Autumn recommended Iyochayu to Wike. Yes, people have also said Wike has had this sense of entitlement. I have also said something in that regard before now. And but it has gone beyond that. The fact that the four governors have stuck with him has gone beyond that theory as it is right now.
Mm.
Now, it still shows, like I said, that the undercurrent is the fact that the power didn't move to the south. But Yocha was accused of calling Tambuwal the hero of the convention,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
Tambuwal had stepped down
mm-hmm.
and changed
the delegate
and
votes.
Changed the dynamic.
Right.
And saw his supporters voting for Aminu Tambuwal.
Right.
Sorry,
Atiku Abubakar.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things have been woven around Yocha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Yocha steps aside, the deputy chairman from the north takes over, which also doesn't satisfy the theory of what the southern governors, the G5 governors are saying.
Mm.
So you must have to sit on a round table to be able to allow even the deputy chairman of the north to also step aside.
Right.
And maybe get in the Arapaja, who is the next in line,
right.
to become the acting chairman.
Chairman
and
of the
bring
party.
Back the, it might be a bit untidy,
mm-hmm.
bring back the deputy chairman of the north
mm.
back into his fold after he has stepped aside, because he shouldn't lose his position on that account. Then the secretary of the party will also have to leave, because you cannot have the southern chairman and have a southern secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those are the untidy aspects that Tiko has also looked at to say, look, how do I do all this?
It's too much of work before the election.
It was created by the convention. So mm-hmm. I must look at it from an analyst point of view,
right.
which I'm supposed to be,
yeah.
without sentiment. It's,
right.
quite untidy also.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you guys not allow us to go through this
election?
After this election, then we can sit on the drawing table knowing that we don't have any election mm. in front of us and change it. But
look,
somehow it is obvious that the five governors are determined to hold tenaciously to it. And, you know, the amazing thing is, Autumn is running a senatorial election
mm-hmm.
from the same senatorial zone as IU.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the governor of IU,
mm.
but he has championed the cause of IU leaving.
Mm.
Makinde is running for second term in office.
Mm.
Uguai is running for senatorial election, same as Ikeazu. So the only governor that doesn't have an election among the G5 governors is Wike. But Wike has the election of his life. He wants to make sure his successor in PDP
right.
wins the election.
Right.
He has
right.
senatorial House of Rep, House of Assembly candidates that are all loyal to him that are PDP in mm. River State. So if you look at it, it is also quite untidy for you to say, look, we're going to support another candidate
yeah.
so brazenly, because I don't think the PDP will sit back without building the big stick.
Without the fight. And that brings me to my next question this morning, Sir Kenny, as to who stands to lose the most. Is it win-win for both sides, the G5 and the PDP, or is it lose-lose for them? Because I'm looking at the chances of Atiku winning without the G5 and the nine other governors supporting the G5 and other, you know, background actors like the founding fathers of the PDP who are also supporting the G5 or the G5 governors now losing, because what kind of deal would they be striking with any other candidates, for instance, for those candidates to abandon their own party in their states to support them? It's looking very like, let me use your word, quite untidy for everybody. So who is this, a win-win situation, a lose-lose situation for the PDP in general?
It's a lose-lose situation because two things you must look at. I give an example. Atiku in Kano already made 25%, even though he had the crowd when he went to campaign in Kano in 2019. He couldn't even come out from the PDP caravan because the crowd is so much.
Mm.
So you found out that crowds do not even translate to electioneering victory.
Mm.
Now, don't forget that when we have beavers, that's a bimodal voters accreditation system, where if your card reader doesn't work, they take your facial features.
Mm.
If that doesn't work, you can't vote.
You can't vote, yes.
And there's no incident form.
Mm.
You see, being the secretary of the Anambra Campaign Council, I witnessed Soludo get 112,000 votes for an ABGA party that used to win with over 500,000 or close to 800,000 votes in the past.
Mm.
I saw the candidate of my party, Valentine Ozugbo, score only 52,000 votes.
Mm.
I saw Oba score 41,000 votes. Don't forget that he had the primaries where he scored over 240,000 votes.
Right.
Where did the 200,000 people disappear? Because those people also had their voters scanned. Now, what people don't understand is that...
Sir Kenny, I beg your pardon. Please hold your thought. We need to head out now because this system will cut us off. When we return, we'll continue. Please remember your train of thought so that when we come, we just pick up from there.
All right.
Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back.
More conversation. More talk. More. Right after this.
Welcome back to the Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3. As you have, I'm Sir Kenny Okolubo, a chieftain of the Accord Party on the show. And we're talking about the drama unfolding in the PDP. Sir Kenny, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, we're going ahead with our conversation on the win-win-lose-lose situation of the PDP, you were saying?
Oh, yeah, my line of thought was the Anambra elections and what I did to Beavers. And I clearly said that Soludo won with 112,000 votes. The PDP candidate came second, Valentine Oligo got 52,000 votes. And the APC candidate got about 41,000 votes. That's why he has scored about 240,000 in the primaries. So it shows you what Beavers can do and is doing to our electoral system. One legacy that Buhari would leave us with is the Beavers, and I think he's determined to leave us with the Beavers, maybe to make up for the economy and other mantras that he has come up with, which has failed us. And that would be a plus for him if the Beavers actually is applied in the February 25th election, and it works like it has worked in other state elections,
right.
Off-season elections.
Right.
And also work for the March 11th election. So where it goes for the PDP is that with Beavers, it's not going to be business as usual for states that would ordinarily have produced high figures. Same for the APC,
mm-hmm.
for those states that naturally would bring big figures. But what people have not also realized is that we have a whole lot of underage voting up north.
Okay.
And Beavers will not detect that. And there's this cooperation among them, because if you're popular in a particular place, people will not raise the alarm when they see a 12-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old come and vote. In the South, we don't tolerate that. If we see such, I must tell you, people will raise the alarm, and they will not allow such voters to vote.
Right.
But with Beavers now, it can't detect age. It allows such voters. So the risk that the PDP is taking here is that for states like Kano, where you have a caucuscy, there's Katsina, which is also going to Jigawa and other environs like Kaduna.
The KKK states.
There's a whole lot of PDP votes that would have come there.
Right.
Then Peter Obi is ravaging in the south, in the southeast, and even encroaching on the southwest, which is Tinubu's territory.
Right.
And so it's not PDP that is running supreme in these whole areas now. And now you have the North Central, which is going to be most likely the decider of this election. Now also, OB has made such a heavy inroad into the North Central, which is traditionally being held by the APC in five of the six states of the North Central. So what it therefore means is that the PDP cannot afford not to have the G5 governors, even with the situation they have at hand. You understand, man?
I'm with you. I mean, yes. does that mean that Atiku Abubakar is gambling away the presidential seat? Is looking like it?
He's gambling away. I had a program on Rice TV, and one of the anchors that was with me actually said it's deja vu for Atiku. I don't know if it's deja vu for Atiku, but that's the situation that he's faced with right now. Because in the high time he faces the reality of the situation, the better it is for him. And for Nigerians, some of them are tired of the APC and the PDP. That's why they're moving to the Labour movement. They're tired. They see them as one of the same.
He
must also take into consideration that fact that people are not also seeing the PDP as an alternative at this point.
How about
an alternative?
Yeah.
You must show so much reasons why you are not coming in to change the change and rectify some of those things that also went wrong during the PDP days. Even though I keep saying that the APC government has failed us in the economy, they failed us in the fight against corruption, and they've also failed us in terms of security.
Right.
Which is a three-man trial on which they came into power.
Mm. What do you think? People have said that even the G5, they are out in the cold already. They can't go back in. They can't stay outside. The people that they are willing to strike deals with, what can they offer them? Will those people be willing to throw their own candidates under the bus just to strike deals with them? Do you agree that the G5 governors may lose as well from both within and outside? What if in the end these candidates don't strike any deals with them?
No, as for striking of deals, we'll get the deals. We are politicians. I'm in an election. If I strike a deal for me to give me your word, I will look at the deal. Anyway, it's only a deal that I have to cost the electorate their rights. I will strike the deal because I have 30 words, for example. I'm not popular in all the words.
Yeah.
That's the truth about it.
Yeah.
You have the words where you know you are aiming to win because it's just simple majority for me.
Mm.
But for the G5, like you said, they're looking at what deals. Let me say Bola Tinubu is going to bring on the table.
Mm.
He might not care about Teslim. Do you understand?
Mm.
He would only want to support Makinde if Makinde supports him.
Mm.
Because really, Makinde is the only governor going for a second tenure.
Right.
It will apply across board. He will weaken the support for the candidates of the APC for the other states. What does he care if he becomes the president of Nigeria?
You mean he wouldn't bother? He wouldn't care?
Of course, it's natural. If I have to do that to get the support of those people, get their resources into my election. No politician has only the resources to run an election. It's impossible. You must always try to raise resources. Now, if you look at Peter Obi already, of course, Labour already does not have the structures.
Mm.
But Labour is a movement that has found structures.
Mm.
And so for Peter Obi, what will I lose if already I don't have governors competing in this state? I only have myself as a popular candidate.
Right.
People are clamoring for to become the president of Nigeria.
Right.
Rivers, do you think Labour will become the governor of Rivers? No, Abia. Yes, there might be competition in the southeast, Abia and Enugu. But if I go into a deal with Uguayi and Ikwazu, I'm able to get the president, it's not a better deal for me.
Mm.
In Oyo, you don't expect it to be to win Oyo State.
Mm.
If Makinde is there for me, why won't I go into a deal with Makinde? Well, anyway, I've always had Otom as my friend, and so we have an understanding. Are you getting?
Right.
But the grief that the G5 now takes is their elections also come on that day. It's not difficult to give instructions to many people to say, look, vote Labour.
Right.
And vote Autumn, which is PDP.
Which of the two would you suppose the governors would take up?
Either way, the governors, I'll go back to my party, no matter how bad it is. That's why I left the PDP. I said I can't be in a party where the kind of happenings that took place did take place, and I thought it was very bad. The reward system was very poor, especially for some of us. For me, for example, I was only the spokesman at the time before people like Segu Showumi did join me with your apologies.
Mm.
Those are very strong voices for the party.
Right.
In 2015, after we lost the election, I thought I was treated very unfairly.
Mm.
And so I had to leave. But people are different. The G5 governors say they are not going anywhere. We die here.
Mm. What if the party throws them out?
I thought they should, no matter what, stick by their candidate. If you are in PDP, you are in PDP. You can't be in PDP and think you're going to work
for another candidate. I'm supporting another party.
Outrightly.
Mm.
Yes, you can be in PDP and work for another candidate.
Yeah.
But as a governor, it becomes very difficult because you're the leader of the party in the state.
Right.
So you're destroying the same party that you're part of.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you can't beat them, you join them. But in this case, if you can't beat them as leader of that group, you exit. And it's difficult for them to exit at this point.
Mm.
And so, like you have said, it's like I see the turning between the devil and the blue sea.
Right, right, indeed. Let's take one or two calls before we call it a morning this morning. 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. Please turn off your radio if you're calling. Good morning to you.
Hi, Sheriff. How are you?
Morning to you.
Jonathan is my name.
Yes, please.
I think I like this line of thought of your guests, the realist politician. And like I said on this floor, before now is the zoning. Obasanjo is the corona of zoning. No part of this country should sit on this country. And that's why I stand with Wike. People just be talk from two sides of their mouth on this floor so many times. I think I like your guests very well. Is they realistic? And I wish him the best in his endeavor.
Mm.
Thank you, good morning.
Thank you, Jonathan, for calling. Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Good morning.
good morning.
Yes, morning to you.
My name is Aburime.
Your name is?
Yeah.
We can't hear you clearly.
Oh, I want to warn the G5. Okay.
I'm really sorry, Aburime. I'm going to have to let you go. Let me take another call. Good morning to you.
Yeah, Chief Quadrin, Emmanuel, good morning.
Good morning.
Can I just, sir? Can I set it off?
Yeah.
Some of us, I think, has moved on. PDP made every one of them, man, used to move to everybody's prison. PDP made them. So let them, I trust Atiku, if he wins, he's still going to have them. Thank you.
Thank you too for calling. So Kenny, let's wrap off now. Let me ask you my final question, which is, of course, we're expecting the G5 to make a pronouncement next week or up a week in January. What would you say would be the best pronouncement for them? Because it's looking like they're not going to announce Atiku as a candidate. It's either Peter or Tinubu. Which of these two?
I can say that with the tendency, I see them announcing Peter Obi as their candidate. For certain reasons, the Southeast governors are two. Mm. The Southwest governor is one. The North Central is one. And the South-South governor is one. Mm. So if you look at it, the Southeast has two and want to push for Peter Obi. Mm. It would be more in their favor if they push for Peter Obi.
Okay.
There are people who want to see them as heroes who have... First of all, supported the dynamics of a power shift to the south, and have also now all brought it to the southeast, which has been clamoring. You know, in the reality of it, to also have a fair share in taking over the leadership of this nation. Mm. Now, for Martin, even if he wants to push for Tinubu,
yeah,
he has an uphill task because you know Tinubu is very popular in the southwest. Mm. Nobody can take
already
that from him.
Mm-hmm.
He runs the risk of working for Tinubu and also losing his second tenure in office.
Mm.
Because don't forget that the presidential election comes first before the gubernatorial
election. That's right, that's right.
Then for Wike, I don't see how him and Amechi can work together.
Mm.
Because that will mean working with Amechi if he pushes for Tinubu. Autumn, I can't tell, but I think Autumn is too close to Peter Obi. He has said it over and over again, like he wasn't in the PDP who worked for Peter Obi.
Mm.
He hasn't given that fact. He has never mentioned Tinubu, so I think he too wants to go for Peter Obi.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Sir Kenny, for joining me on the show this morning. It's been quite insightful. Thank you. Appreciate your time. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you for being a part of it. Happy New Year in advance, everybody. It's our last Morning Crossfire for the year 2022. And I'd like to say a very big, big, gigantic congratulations to everybody, because we're going to meet again next year. Hopefully, I believe very strongly that we're going to meet again next year. So stay here on Nigeria Info. Thank you for making our broadcast for the year 2022 an amazing one. We've won together. We've been there together. We've talked this year. We've deliberated this year. We've had fun. We've shared joyous stories this year. We've talked very frankly this year as well. We've done so many things together this year. We can always do better next year as well. So from the management, we want to say thank you for being a part of our world, for allowing us to be a part of your world in the year 2022. We promise you a better, greater, more compact broadcast for the year 2023. I'll see you on Monday. In fact, I'll see you next year. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Good morning to you.